Isaiah chapter number 40. Praise God. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse. Isaiah chapter number 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Hey, keep your Bibles handy. I'll be reading from other portions in a moment, but this is a prophecy of Isaiah concerning the ministry of John the Baptist, who was to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Messiah. Then when you come to the Gospel of Luke, and if you will turn there with me, when you come to the Gospel of Luke, you find that it's written some 750 years later, after the prophecy, after that time John was born, the miracle birth of John the Baptist. His mother had longed for a child, but now they were up in age, and it looked as if all of their dreams would be shattered, and their hopes would not come to pass, would not be realized. And then when Zechariah was ministering in the temple, one day in doing his duties, an angel appeared and said to John, "John, you and your wife are going to have a child. You're going to have a baby. Remember, they are up in years and had desired a child and nothing had happened. And now, an angel said, you and your wife, Elizabeth, are going to have a child, and I want you to name him John." 30 years later, the angel's news had come to pass. He's been born, and now he begins his ministry. In the third chapter of Luke, I'm going to read from the fourth verse. "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." I would like to preach this morning from the words of Isaiah and of him being quoted by Luke in the third chapter. Years ago, I heard an evangelist preach using this text, and he titled John the Baptist as being the God superintendent of the highways, or maybe the secretary of transportation. But I want to preach this morning a lot back along the lines of what John said and what Isaiah prophesied of him. The four things that he mentioned about every valley being filled and the mountains and hills being level, the crooked places being straightened out, and the rough terrain being smoothed out. That's what I want to preach about. Now I begin with the fifth verse, when he said, "Every valley shall be filled." The question is asked, what does that mean? What is John saying? Every valley shall be filled. I want to begin by making a statement that's very plain and strong. It means a lot more than building roads. God didn't call John the Baptist to be the road builder of Jerusalem or Israel. He called John the Baptist to preach. He's a man sent from God. And the Bible says that as he's preaching to the unsaved, he's preaching repentance to them, that those that get saved, every valley shall be, how did he go about saying, every valley shall be filled. So he's talking about building lives. I want us to understand that to begin with. If you miss this, you miss the whole sermon. John the Baptist is preaching about how your lives can be blessed of God and be filled by God and enjoy your living. Amen. and every valley shall be filled. John came to build lives. Every valley shall be exalted. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every valley shall be raised up to a higher plane. Notice, if you will, John is preaching to the unsaved. And he's saying that there's a need to repent, letting them know that everyone is lost in sin, that God will forgive, that God will save, that God will lift up, that God will fill our lives. Listen closely this morning. Every one of us were sinners. Every one of us lived lives that were empty. We might have thought that we were really living until we met Jesus and we realized we weren't living at all.
Come on.
That's true.
Come on, preach.
But when we got saved, the Lord gave us a new life. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Our names are written down. Man, I think of that woman who was saying a while ago, that just does something good to me. My name is written down in glory. A nobody from nowhere. With my name written down in glory. And he says, he will lift us up. And brother, let me give you two illustrations to begin with here concerning every valley shall be filled. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, I read about a woman that lived a wicked life, an evil life, a sinful life. And one day she went to the well of Samaria to draw water. While she was there, the Bible says she met with Jesus. In the course of their conversation, this woman that has lived an ungodly life, now even living with someone that she's not married to. I want you to know in the days of Jesus, that living together without marriage was a sin. And I'm going to add to that, in the year 2013, it's still a sin. Although a lot of people have the idea, well, it's popular. It's popular now. Folks, it's never been popular with God. And it never will be. And so here's a woman that's living in sin. She's living with a man that she's not married to. And Jesus passes by and begins to talk to her. This is what happened. She was an empty vessel. She was a valley that was empty. Her heart was empty. She was seeking pleasures, but it left her empty. She was looking for something to satisfy, but it left her in the valley of despair. And Jesus came by and forgave her sins and saved her and gave her a new life. And she got so excited she left the water pot at the well and went back to town to tell what God had done. I like to see people get excited about being saved.
Amen.
Amen. Think about it. God had done something in her life. The valley. She was in a spiritual valley. And God is now elevated her, exalted her to a higher place, lifted her up to a higher plane, a big God. I read from the book of Daniel. Let me come back. I'm going to come to Mark chapter 10 first. I'm not going to turn there, but the story of a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. I've preached about him. I've heard it preached about him. A man that's been blind, cannot see. He hears a commotion coming down the highway. Finally, he asks as commotion gets louder, who is, what's taking place? What is it that somebody whispered to him or told him as they're sitting there beside the highway in Jericho? It's Jesus of Nazareth. Now they got closer and closer and closer. Something began to well up in his heart, in his soul. He's a blind man. He's heard about Jesus, that Jesus can heal. And as the commotion gets closer and the noise gets closer, he finally thinks up, he must be close down, and he cries out, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me! Jesus! Jesus stopped the whole procession going down the road, stopped everyone and said, come! What do you want me to do? He said, heal me so I can be able to see. And Jesus, here Bartimaeus right there, beside the road in Jericho. And the Bible says that from that day on, he wanted to follow Jesus. I mean, when God does something new in your life, you want to follow him.
Come on,
when God saved you, he started out to follow the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Don't ever slow down. Don't ever turn to the left or right. Keep on following.
Amen.
Keep on going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was a man that's valley. He was in a spiritual valley. He was in a physical valley. He was blind, unable to see, so that could not work. Could not provide for a family for himself. Even he had to beg for a living. He's a blind man. But he was in a spiritual valley. But the Lord came by and filled the valley.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
What did he do when you got saved?
Oh, he filled
that was an empty spot in your heart. He filled the
valley.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, through the prophet Isaiah, and now Luke is quoting him. Every valley shall be filled. And I'm going to say this before I go on this morning. When you got saved, God did something that you never had in your life. When God saved you from your sin, you never had that feeling. You never knew what it was really like to be without sin in your life. You never knew the joy of salvation. But when the Lord came, didn't you feel like He lifted you up and filled the valley? Hallelujah. He had done something real in your life. Brother, we ought to rejoice today. It might be 50 years ago or 20 years ago. We ought to rejoice. The valley has been filled with something real. We sing a song. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and lo, in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. I say, every valley shall be filled. I went to the next part. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Some have asked Brother Jones, what is the meaning of that, spiritually speaking? I believe John was saying that the proud must be humbled before they can be helped. Pride is a problem. In fact, pride is a problem as old as Satan. Pride was around before Genesis 1:1. Before God created the heavens and the earth, pride had been found in the heart of Satan, Lucifer, in the glory world. And he rebelled against God and was cast out to this earth. Maybe I should rephrase what I said about before the earth was made. But pride was found in his heart and life, and he was cast out to the earth. But keep this in mind. The Bible says every mountain and hill shall be brought low. I'm convinced that pride is one of the major reasons why people don't get saved and don't serve God.
Amen.
Pride. Pride. Pride makes people think that they're good enough. They don't need the Lord. Pride makes people think that sin is not so bad. Maybe sin, the devil has painted a pretty packed picture. They don't even realize they're lost sinners, but the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pride keeps people from responding to the gospel message, turning away the invitation to serve God. Pride keeps people from enjoying a wonderful life. Let me leave this with you today. I've tried it both ways, with God and without God. I recommend God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He will fill every valley, but He will bring down the hills. He'll bring down the pride. You'll have to humble yourself to serve God.
That's right.
Amen. How many people have sinned in the congregation? God has dealt with their hearts. They know they ought to be saved, but pride has kept them from going to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
What will the people think? What will the others think? And I go back on the job and I tell them, I say, what will they think? How will it happen? What will I do? Pride.
Mm-hmm.
Has kept a lot of people out of heaven. We hear the term swallow your pride.
Oh, God.
That might be true. That might choke some folks. But God help us. Pride is a terrible thing. Pride goeth before destruction. Pride will ruin you. He says he'll bring down every hill, every mountain. Pride. God help us. I really believe. I didn't have a lot to be proud of. I believe pride kept me from serving God after we got married for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Pride. I look back today, what in the world did I have to be proud of?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything. I was nobody from nowhere. Why would I not step out when God dealt with my heart? Why would I not step out and obey God and serve and accept Him as my Savior? But say, every mountain, every hill will come down. Everybody that gets saved must realize you'll have to come God's way. Pride. Let me use an illustration, not just for salvation. We had a man that was our Sunday school superintendent when I was a boy. He was a tailor. He dressed nice. He made his own suits. He worked in New Produce. He was a tailor. He was our superintendent, and we had a revival, and people began to get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost.
And some of those that were filled with the Holy Ghost were slain in the Spirit.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Some people have even called homeless folks holy rollers. Because maybe sometimes they didn't add to their actions were not trying to keep them from doing that. This man said, I hope the Holy Ghost, but I'll never. Now he was a tailor and dressed nicely. I will never roll in the floor. Now you don't have to roll in the floor to get the Holy Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
But you have to obey God.
That's right.
Whatever God has you to do, do it. God will not have you do anything that's contrary to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen some people that had a wild fit that wasn't of God.
Amen.
I'm going to kick the furniture over. You wouldn't go home and kick the furniture over.
No.
The Holy Ghost is a gentleman.
Yes. Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
Brother Schwartz, our Sunday school superintendent, that was a tailor, got hungry for the Holy Ghost when people were receiving and being blessed. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost struck him. He went down.
Amen.
But he didn't just lie there in the front of the church on 25th Street. God rolled him down the aisle. Some people might not understand that. It took that to get the pride out of it. God rolled him down the aisle. In the camp meeting in Prescott, Arizona, a young Mexican boy, his brother, two of his brothers, were preachers. Young men, preachers. We had folding chairs and they were going to incline towards the altar and saw us in the rest. And that night the service had been good and God had blessed and a lot of people had gone, but some of the young people were still praying way back in the back. And all of a sudden I heard a commotion. Some were praying around the altar. A lot of people had gone back to their quarters, their cabins and whatever. I heard a commotion. God, the Holy Ghost struck that young man. He was hungry for God and he went down on the floor way back there. And first thing I know, the chairs were falling. I said, Brother Jones, what for? Not all the way down to the front, the chairs were falling because God took the starch out of him.
Glory to God. Amen.
Did you know what? Until the starch is gone, the Holy Ghost can't come.
Amen.
Until the pride is gone,
Amen. We
have to go God's right.
That's right.
God's right is always best. Some people say, well, I heard one man say that his friend received the Holy Ghost in Canada, and it was in a tent meeting with sawdust. And so he began to think that he had to go to Canada to get to a tent meeting with sawdust. That's nonsense.
Exactly.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Every night you must come down. Pride must go.
That's right.
Not only to receive the Holy Ghost, but for God to use us in any way that he wants to.
Yes.
Whatever you want, God, whatever you want of me,
Amen.
Here I am, yours, your servant. And so Isaiah prophesied 700 some years ahead of John the Baptist, and now John the Baptist has come on the scene and he's preaching repentance, how God wants to save them and forgive them and make of them new creatures. Now I want to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel, if you'd like to turn there with me, fourth chapter of Daniel, and I'm going to read from the 30th verse, fourth chapter of Daniel, verse number 30. 4:30, the king spake and said, this is Nebuchadnezzar the king. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in his mouth, the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men, and did eat grass as an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Let me stop right there, if I may, before I go on. God, here's a man that was the king of Babylon, the greatest kingdom of his day, and he had pride in his heart. He had built that great monument for himself, and had people that bow down, and now he's no boasting how great he is, what he has accomplished, what he's done, how great he is. And God spoke, that better they say, Nebuchadnezzar, because you have lifted yourself up, because you think
just so great, I'm going to bring it down. Like John the Baptist preached, you're going to be led away from the palace into the fields. You'll have the mind of an animal. Your mind will be deranged. You'll have the mind of an animal, and you'll eat grass like an oxen. And for 7 long years, I've never heard of anything like that in all of my life. Anywhere, any testimony except Nebuchadnezzar. God did all of that because he thought he was greater than he was. And God had to bring him down. I'm going to read one other verse.
In that chapter, verse number 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that weep, that those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson, and he said, the God of heaven is the true God. And God knows how to bring a man down. And those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. Every mountain and every hill shall be brought low. I believe it with all of my heart. God is good and God is blessed. And God loves to do good things in our lives. And I'm preaching to everyone. I have not picked out anyone. I did not know who was going to be here. And every time I preach to my family and to myself. Hope you all understand that. Pride can get into your heart. Even in the Christian church. We had a good Sunday school lesson. A lot of good stuff there. God said, I will bring down everybody that serves me. I will bring down every hill, every mountain. They'll be brought down. God is a good God. I'm going to use one of the illustrations of a man that attended our church. Years ago, a military man, when I heard about Dustin and the transfer that's coming up in April. And I'm not saying this for Dustin, but I want you to understand, God's a big God. God had blessed souls that were being saved, and God was moving, and one man was sort of stubborn. His wife was saved, his children were saved, but he would come, but he wouldn't serve God. One day we went by to visit, and he said, I'm going to be leaving my entire battalion, the 16th Signal Battalion out of Fort Huachuca. We're leaving, we're going to Germany. He was excited. He thought, maybe if I get away from the church, I'll get away from the conviction, I'll get away from the way things are going. I've been to church with my wife and my children, but I just got ready for all of that. He said to my wife and I, while we were visiting, we're going to be leaving in so long a time, and we're going to Germany in the 16th Signal Battalion. And my wife woke up and said, but Richard, suppose God changes the orders. Mm-hmm. He said, they're already out. They've already been published. I'm on them. My entire battalion's going, the 16th Signal Battalion. But my wife said, but suppose God takes you off of the orders. He sort of smirked and laughed. Guess what? When the 16th Signal Battalion went to Germany, had one sergeant left behind by the name of Richard Cruz. Richard got saved. It made a believer out of it. Richard got saved. He got sanctified. He was filled with the Holy Ghost and called to preach. God took the pride out, and then he could do something.
Praise God.
Amen. Aren't you glad? This is not something to get down in the dumps about, but something to rejoice about. God loves us.
He
loves to do good things for us. The third thing. I better hurry. The third thing that I'd like to mention is found in, it says, the crooked shall be made straight. Those who repent with godly sorrow, amen. Those who commit their lives to Christ in salvation, those who turn everything over to God, they're forgiven, they're made anew. Their lives will be straightened out, is what he's saying. Every crooked place shall be made straight. Listen, it makes no difference how mean we've been, how sinful we've been, how deep in sin we were, how deep in the horrible pit we were. When Jesus saved, it's all forgiven, amen. He straightens it all out. Thank God, thank God. I'm glad that he straightens our lives out. Amen.
I don't know how you lived before you got saved, but it was a crooked path.
Amen. Amen.
But when God saved us and made us fresh and anew, He straightened it all out.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. Thank God. Let me just ask you a question. Do you believe in restitution? I know it's not mentioned tonight. But there's a lot of commotion going on. Keep your minds on the service. Do you believe in restitution?
Yes.
If God has you to do something, whatever it is, you might have wronged somebody 20 years ago and he brings you your attention and tells you, go make it straight now. Mm-hmm. I've forgiven you and I've blessed you, but go make it straight now. Yes. You know what you need to do? Go make it straight now.
Come on now.
Whatever it is.
Yes.
Whatever comes that way, God will straighten things out. God straightened lives out. I've seen some of the most wicked, some of the most evil. And I suppose I was just as bad as anyone else. Some things I didn't do, but things I sin is sin.
Yes, it is.
Right. And I'm glad God straightened our lives out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was going, before I got married, I was doing so many things trying to find something that was satisfied. And then you know, and I've said this a lot of times, I'll repeat it, the devil will cause you to go further than you ever thought you'd go. And do things you never thought you'd do.
Yes.
But when God saved me, he straightened all of that out.
Yep.
And I'd like to just stand here this morning to say, thank God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God. That crooked road is a terrible way to travel.
Yes, it is.
God straightened all that and finally, after all these, the valley shall be elevated, the hills shall come down, pride will be done away. He'll straighten out the crooked places, and then he says, the rough ways shall be made smooth. And I'm just preaching to the church this morning, and this is important for all of us. John the Baptist was preaching to the unsaved. What's going to take place if they serve God? He'll have to bring them down or lift them up or whatever the need might be. But then he says, and there'll be some rough places needs to be smoothed out. And I'm going to get personal this morning. Tommy Metz and Ken Gordon. Carl Parnell and you and me. God is not finished with us yet.
Praise God.
When God's finished with us, he'll take us home.
Praise God.
And if it takes us home, he's still working on us.
Praise God.
And I don't care how long we've been saved, from time to time, God will let us know there's a rough spot that needs to be smoothed out.
Praise the Lord.
There's a place that needs to be taken care of. There's something that you just let me come to. There'll be so much better.
Uh-huh.
And so if we only understand today, God is not a hard taskmaster.
No.
He loves us, he loves us.
Yes.
He didn't save us and leave us in the valley.
No.
I tell you how I felt when I got up on the altar that night.
Come on.
I felt like running, I felt like shouting. I felt like getting home and calling my mama. I told mama, your prayers were answered. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I went to God and they asked me a question and I let them know. I'm saved now, I don't do that anymore. Brother McSweedo.
Yeah.
He feels the end of that.
Yes.
He brings down the hot places in our lives that ought not to be that fire and the terrible exaltation and sacrifices of whatever. Bring it down like he did with us. Thank God. He straightens out the quick wings and he smooths out those rough places. I believe this morning I'm preaching to everyone here. If there's a rough place today in your life, he should have smoothed it out.
Amen.
If there's not a rough place in your own life today, there might be one that's quick. Get the Lord's hands. I don't tell you about sin. I'm not talking about sinning in your life.
Yeah.
There's enough room for improvement in all of us.
Amen.
In our daily living.
Yeah.
He mentioned about the holier than thou attitude that some had, and Pharisees and Sadducees and hypocrites. And that's not what that's not here. I don't sense that at all, but sometimes, folks, we all.
Yeah.
And I'm going to close and use my life as an illustration. God is here. God has healed in a family. We've seen miracles healing. And we prayed, and you prayed earnestly. And I appreciate it. And she does. And God can see fit to heal. I love God this morning as much as I did when he's ever healed anybody. My wife has said over and over because of her condition. Honey, we've tried to serve God ever since we got saved. We've tried to do what he wants us to do. We tried to go where he wanted us to go. We tried to live right. She said, I've loved to teach Sunday school. I've never felt this difficulty in our head. She understands me. I love to get the piano. I love to play the piano. We've done it all of our ministry. She has done it all of our ministry. Now Canaan, she feels like she's missing out. And I want you to play this way today. Sometimes if you serve God, and not see sin, I'm not saying that at all. Please understand. Sometimes some things, when your breath is gone and
You don't have any strength, and you're hurting from the surgery, and you love to be in church. If I would have blessed you, she'd have been here Wednesday night. But I didn't have to say anything this morning. She said, "Honey, I can't go." She wanted to come. But listen closely. The devil will play on your nerves and on your mind. If you love him with all of your heart, if you love God with all of your heart, the devil will play on your mind when your sickness comes, or surgery, or shortness of breath, or no strength whatsoever. Hard, hard, hard to just get the walker and walk across the room. She has to do it every hour. Just to walk across the den and back. It's all that easy to just leave it over there and sit here. And she's questioned God, and she's questioned God. I'm going to leave it with you and with my wife. And I told her, and she loves God. Trust God no matter what. Trust God no matter what. I think maybe her and I both maybe have a better understanding of what real suffering is, not because I'm suffering, but because she is, and if she does, I do. Amen. If you understand that.
Yes. Yes.
Not because it's hard to wait on her. She's my wife, and I love to. Some of you have volunteered to come and help, and I appreciate everything. Please understand. But she's my wife, and I love to be with her. And that's why I want you to pray earnestly concerning the pastorate. I mean that out of my heart. Pray with us in his last hours, even places that are rough, that God will smooth them out. And when we stand before the Lord, he'll be pleased to present us to the Father without a spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. I love him today. I don't have any complaints. Whatever you do, trust God. Whatever you do, trust God. I've tried to use the illustration of Job. I've tried to use the illustration of Paul when he prayed 3 times and God said, "My grace is sufficient." I've tried to talk to others as well. And sometimes it comes back home to us. You can preach to others like was mentioned in the classroom this morning. But sometimes it's for us as well. God, any rough places this morning, smooth them out. Smooth them out. Smooth them out. Because we want to be ready. We want to be presented without a wrinkle or a blemish in that day. Jesus is coming soon. Will you stand together with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.